It's Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. Welcome and good morning. I'm Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
You know, it helps to turn on my microphone every once in a while, too. See, I've been out of practice. I've been gone for 2 days. What are you going to do? All right, it is Ask the Law for Monday, July 12, 2010. All the information is up to date and can change without notice, as Gary mentioned. Retired senior trooper Monty Dial is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. And we would love to have your questions at 800-288-9227. A question about hours of service. Lots of questions over the years. I'm sure we'll have questions as long as trucking is around. We want to let you know also that the statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Go to askthelaw.org, click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law to submit your CMV questions any time. Over the last couple of segments, we've been talking about the FMCSA and the administrator there, Ann Farrow, who has done a couple of decent things, a couple of good things that I consider to be refreshing, and that is she attended the Hours of Service listening session. She attended the Mid-America Trucking Show in March, and she also has talked about she did it because she wanted to know. She wanted to hear from drivers what the concerns were on the Hours of Service. But also she said something recently while speaking last month during the Washington Freight Transportation Policy Forum, which is put on by the National Industrial Transportation League. She suggested that shippers and receivers put themselves in the shoes of truckers who have limited hours to work yet get paid by the mile. And we've said for, I don't know, how long, Trooper Dial, is that conflict? As long as drivers are paid by the mile and regulated by the clock, that conflict is going to put them at getting out there and getting that urge to get on the road is always going to be there. And certainly, we know that detention pay, even in this economy, is still around. Drivers are getting detention pay, but they don't want detention pay. They want to get paid to drive. They want to get on the road.
Yes.
Because what that means is that if they get that load there, they can get another load. They might have another load waiting for them. Or, you know what? It may just mean that they get home for a couple of days.
Very, very true.
Yes. So the frustrations are many.
Yeah, the detention pay that the driver gets is a drop in a bucket compared to what he would get if he was loaded out the gate and down the road and to the next receiver.
And sometimes they don't get that detention pay for a few hours.
It
could be 4 or 5 hours before that detention pay kicks in.
Yes.
So, 800-288-9227. We were talking off the air about what there could be, and again, we were just speculation here about could this lead to, you believe this is kind of a shot across the bow coming from the FMCSA to shippers and receivers saying, you need to be more considerate of these drivers here. They have limited hours to work but get paid by the mile. You need to take that into consideration when you're dealing with them. You believe that this is a kind of a shot across the bow, and this actually, it could lead to a rulemaking. It could lead to some kind of proposal. We have actually had that in the past where groups have come up and have suggested a rule that governs the shippers and receivers.
Well, I think one of the, you know, you go back and I listened to some of the listening sessions, and I doubt that there was one driver that got up that did not mention when he was asking or presenting his testimony that did not mention the fact that they were tied up at a shipper or tied up at a receiver.
Right.
And when you have that many folks that are giving their testimony and mentioning the fact that they are being detained, FMCSA has to listen.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think this is something that Ann Farrell is probably going to try to get done to see if they can't get that driver in and out as fast as they can.
Right.
And if not, then they might go to the next step.
Because right now there is no legal recourse.
No.
A driver dealing with a shipper or receiver right now really can't, if they're coming upon the end of their 14 hours and they're sitting there, I mean, they're going to have to get somewhere. And if they run out of drive time, a lot of times the shipper doesn't want them sitting there on their property. So, you know, what are they to do? That question has come up several times on this program.
And that's very true. You know, for whatever reason, whether it's the shipper or the receiver doesn't have the adequate parking, whether or not they've got another truck coming in behind that needs that location.
Mm-hmm.
Once the driver either gets the load or gets the load off, if he's out of hours and the company says, I'm sorry, you can't park here, I've always told the drivers, drive to a safe location. Do not try to hide.
You know,
log it just like you did it.
Right.
And if you get stopped, explain. Hopefully you will have a very understanding DOT trooper or inspector that will understand.
Let me ask you, in that scenario, because we are looking down the road to electronic onboard recorders now, and while it's not a mandate for all carriers, the rule is in place, and some believe that it will be an industry-wide mandate at some point. All right, but for a driver operating with an EOBR, they make a notation there. Is there a place for them to make a notation about why they had to go beyond their drive time? Let's say they're at that shipper receiver, they're out of that 11 hours, but they've got to find a place to park. Is there a place for a notation in electronic onboard recorders? Do you have any?
No, I don't think that there will be a place for that. Mm-hmm. Other than contacting their dispatcher or contacting the motor carrier and saying, here's why I'm still moving and I am not parked.
Yeah.
Because I was told to get off the property and I am complying with their demands.
800-288-9227. You got a question on hours of service about CSA 2010. This is the time to get it in while Trooper Dial is here for Ask the Law. Do that right now. Let's go to your calls.
Let's talk to Frank in Arkansas. Frank, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hey, God bless you guys. God bless America. Hey, let me ask you something. What we haul out here, most of our stuff is all food grade in tanks. And if we go to hours of service, what's going to affect us is going from a one-day dispatch, it's going to be a two-day dispatch, because right now you could log 715 miles at 65 miles an hour, you know, 11 hours, but you can't drive that in 11 hours. It takes you 12 hours, maybe 12 and a quarter hours. So
so how are you doing it now?
Well, we're logging the miles. I mean, legally, you can at 65 miles an hour, you can log 715 miles on if everything is perfect. But most of our stuff is all two-lane country roads. You know, you got these small little towns, so
right.
you really can't average 65 mile an hour. But my question is if we go to electronic logs, I mean, there's no way you can move forward or back up. It's, I mean, what you do is what you do. Is that correct?
Yes,
that's true. But let me explain something to you, Frank. I've talked at some of the truck shows as well as to some of the drivers on the radio. And a lot of the drivers were very, very hesitant about switching over to EOBRs. Companies told the drivers, either you get one or
yeah.
you go find a job somewhere else.
Right.
We're installing them and we're going to use them.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of the drivers that I've talked to that had the EOBRs put on said they loved them, simply because under the current log system, everything is broken into 15-minute segments. Electronic logging, it breaks it down into the minute.
All right. Yeah.
And so what has happened is drivers that are using the EOBRs, they're finding that they can actually drive more, not in violation, but they can they're able to get up into the 10 and the 11 hours further down the road than they can by using a paper log, simply because it breaks it down into the minute with an EOBR versus 15 minutes on a paper log.
I did talk to two drivers in Iowa on Friday that told me that they've been using EOBRs for the last several months, and both of them said the same thing, that they liked it better. They just didn't have to worry about it, and that they're still making the same money. That was the question that came up with me, Frank, is that, okay, are you still making the same money? Are you restricted at all? The fact of the matter is this, is that when a carrier, and I heard this from carriers at the Truckload Carriers Association meeting earlier this year, the carriers were telling me, we realize we're going to have to pay more per mile if these drivers are going to be, you know, if the, say, hours of service comes back with 10 hours of drive time instead of 11. We understand that that means in order to make a living behind the wheel, the driver's going to have to be paid more per mile. So.
Yeah. You know what's affecting us though, out here in the tank business though, is most of our stuff comes out of rural America.
Right.
And by the time you get on the big road, you know, you've burned up, you know, several hours.
Yeah.
And before you can even hit 65 mile an hour, you know,
right,
for the most
right.
part.
Well, and what we saw last time, this was with the 2005 rules, we actually saw these terminals repositioned. A lot of the companies came in and changed the location of their terminals. This is why a lot of these carriers don't want another hours of service change, because they came in and changed their terminal positions, their terminal locations in some case, because of the 2005 rule, because of the 11 hours of drive time. They wanted to be able to get drivers, you know, maybe a turnaround in that 11 hours or whatever it may be, or a one shot maybe within that 11 hours. So they don't want to change that. What could happen in your industry, and I again, just speculation here, is that there is maybe a staging area or something where your pickup is closer to a major interstate thoroughway that gets you on that interstate quicker. I don't know, but I do know that commerce did change as a result of the last hours of service change. And you can bet if it's a product that's in demand, that they're going to look at that. They're going to find out, all right, what's the most efficient way to move this product? How do we do that? How do we get that done? Frank, thank you for the call. We do appreciate that. We're back to Ask the Law in just a moment. If you want to get on board, just like Frank did, 800-288-9227. We'll get back to you in just a moment. It's Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. And it was funny because just as the music started was when I put the pretzel in my mouth, and Monty saw that and heard it because I was chomping vigorously.
That's all right.
Knowing that I had to go down the air.
All right. And it is Ask the Law for Monday, July 12, 2010. The information and answers to questions can change without notice. They are up to date as of today. Statements made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Let's get back to your questions at 800-288-9227.
Let's get to Ken in Michigan. Ken, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law.
Yeah, I have two concerns with EOBRs. My first one is, like, you know, between driving between midnight and 3 in the morning is a bad time to drive. You stop, take a nap, you oversleep, you wake up, and now you're even pushing to get there farther. And you can't move time to make up what you accidentally oversleep. And my other concern is the shippers. Sometimes you go into these shippers, mm-hmm. you sit there for 4 or 5 hours, lose all your time. Is there any way to get that back?
No, there's no way to get that back.
What'll happen is obviously whenever you get to a shipper and you're tied up, yes, it's going to eat your 14-hour clock.
Are they going to do something with the shippers to get the trucks in and out faster than what they are? Because I've been at a shipper now for 19 hours.
Right now?
Yeah.
Wow. Are you getting detention pay?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Well, and I know that you'd rather be driving though. Are you getting paid as if you were driving on that detention pay, or is it a?
It's like I'm working a 40-hour work week job. I'm getting paid an hourly wage.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't work.
No, I don't. I'm making less now sitting here getting waiting to get unloaded than I am when you drive.
You're making radio pay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's, I mean, I drove on EOBRs and I switched companies. I went back to paper logs, and I like paper logs better because if something happens, I can always adjust it to make it look like something. Mm, you know how that goes.
Well, yeah. Well,
I mean, are they going to do anything for the shippers to try getting them out faster to get everybody in and out, or are they just going to say, "Well, this is what you get," and leave it at that?
Well, you know, that's the question that came out of the Ann Farrell statement recently to the shippers and receivers, basically telling them, look, we've got truckers here who are paid by the mile, regulated by the clock, and you're going to have to be more considerate of them. How far that goes is anybody's guess, and we can speculate all day long, and thank you for the call.
If you're willing to fudge the law, doesn't that put less pressure on your company then?
Yes, and that puts less pressure on shippers and receivers and the company.
And the company
it puts
right.
all the pressure on the drivers.
Right.
But that's something we've said all along. That's why we want drivers to run legal, insist on running legal. Even if you're still on the paper log, you should run legal for all the reasons. And in fact, I want to talk more about that. You and I have been maligned for saying that. But more of that coming up here on Ask the Law.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's a Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara, Eric Harley.
And we want to remind you that all the information is up to date as we talk with Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of Old Blue USA. As of today, July 12, 2010, the information can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial considered to be opinions only. Go to askthelaw.org, click on that big red button that says Email Ask the Law, and submit your CMV questions any time. Let's get back to the phones, and then we've got some follow-up on some comments we were making before the break. 800-288-9227.
Let's talk to Steve in Texas. Steve, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome.
How you doing, sir?
Good. Welcome.
I was wanting to ask Monty, as I work on refrigeration equipment on these trucks and trailers.
Okay.
And a lot of times we run into situations where they're out of Dallas or outside of the area, and they said they're out of ours, but we can't get to them, to their location. Is there any kind of waivers or something to where they can bring it into our shop?
No, I don't. There would not be any type allowances on that.
They're talking sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars in a load.
Right, their cargo is going to spoil if their reefer goes out.
Yeah, but there's not any allowances on that.
Wow.
What size service truck do you operate?
It's a standard service truck that we do mobile service on. We do have most parts, but there again, we can't carry everything we need.
I understand. Now, what I was looking at though on that, Steve, was if as long as you are operating a truck less than 26,000 pounds, the hours.
Our trucks are we're not under any kind of hours.
Yeah,
or
you're
anything.
You're not,
I mean,
right.
Yeah,
you would
yeah,
not
but,
be regulated.
Right, but his customers
I've gone 48
are
48 hours. Right.
Yeah. And the only solution I could see is having a tractor. From y'all standpoint, your business would have a tractor where they go out, you do a drop and hook and pick up that reefer. That is wherever it's wherever the reefer's gone south.
Yeah, we don't have any of that type of. Feeling or the company don't see it sustainable. We do have a company that they only operate though in during the day.
Right.
They go and pick up trucks or trailers for us, but other than that, at night, and you know what I'm talking about. A reefer refrigeration unit shuts down on the driver.
Right.
They're out of ours. We're on the other side of town, and it's just not feasible for either one of us to get to each other.
Right, right. They have to get to you in order to get it fixed.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Well, gosh, that's a situation that I don't know that we've had come up on the program before. Because think about it. If they run out of hours, they go and they park. They're out of hours.
Right.
They're going to shut down for their 10. And in the middle of that 10 hours, let's say 3 or 4 hours into it, their reefer goes south.
Yeah.
They're limited on what they can do about that because it's that load could spoil by the time they're
right.
back into...
You don't want to feed your kids their bad...
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't want mayonnaise off that truck for sure. Yeah, well, thank you very much. We do appreciate the call, and I think it's a legitimate concern.
Oh, it's very...
In agriculture, is there any kind of situation where, let's say, if there is a... I don't know, an axle or something that goes south on a trailer like that for livestock. Are there any livestock exemptions?
No.
No, none.
No.
So you essentially would be stuck with that livestock wherever you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. 800-288-9227. That's an interesting question, but a definite answer. 800-288-9227. Let's get back to you.
Let's talk to Ted in Oklahoma. Ted, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi.
Hello there. I just wanted to call and tell you, gentlemen, I've been listening to you, and I appreciate some of the things you're saying, but you're missing the boat on so many things.
All right, go ahead.
Well, for one, shippers and receivers don't give a darn about the truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
You go in and you tell them you're on an electronic log, they just look at you like, so what?
Yeah.
You know, I've been to places where shippers and receivers have a sign, dogs and drivers do not use the restroom. You know, you were talking about going down the road, averaging speed and whatever. If you go from Galveston, go up 59 to Texarkana, you're lucky if you can average 58 miles an hour.
Right, right.
If you're driving an electronic log, you don't drive 11 hours a day. Because about 9.5 or 10 hours, you're starting to look for a place to park.
Right, right.
Because you can't let it go over the 11 hours.
Yes, we talked about that early.
And, you know, I've got a simple solution for the 14-hour rule. Leave
okay.
the 11 alone. Leave the 10 alone. The only thing you have to do on the 14-hour rule is say to the people, any stop less than 30 minutes in duration is counted against the 14.
Yeah.
Any stop more than that 30 minutes is not counted towards the 14. You
right.
can still only drive 10 hours a day. You can still only work 11 hours a day.
Right, right. Be able to stop the clock with a break that would stop that truck for a certain period of time. And something that I have condoned, in fact, in the past, I've said that countless times. That's one of the concerns I had with the 2005 rule is that loss of flexibility, being able to extend that 14 hours with a break. And, you know, they might come back and say, okay, your minimum, you would have to stop down, say, at least for 2 or 3 hours, which is fine. But again, you would be able to negotiate some of the traffic in these larger cities, say Houston or Dallas in Texas.
Dallas is crazy. You've got people
yeah.
there in
oh,
Dallas
yes.
that get up in the
oh, yeah.
get up in the middle of the night and say, I'm going to go out and hit somebody.
Yeah, well, sometimes I don't know where the traffic is coming from at 11 o'clock at night coming in, and it's just it really is. It's insane. I don't know how you guys keep your sanity doing what you do for a living sometimes. But and we thank you for the call. We do appreciate it. Some of the ideas that we have thrown around on the program, and again, our opinions are opinions only, not the opinion of Trooper Dial here. But my thought is that we would see greater flexibility if we could return back to a true split sleeper berth, while you still can split the sleeper berth, that 2 or 3 hours or whatever it would be, would be able to stop that 14-hour clock. But
Ted, if you're still listening, wait until July the 26th of 2012.
When is that? What is that?
That's when they have to have the final rule issued
on EOBRs or
on the new hours of service.
On hours of service. That's the deadline.
That's the deadline.
Okay. All right.
And I think you're going to see the flexibility in the 14-hour rule, because that was another...
You predict more flexibility coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I
hope so. I really do. If we take into consideration what Administrator Farrow has said and how she's conducted herself, that makes sense.
Yes. And like I say, that was, you know, the shippers and receivers, and adding flexibility were some of the big items
yeah.
that just about every driver that testified before
right.
her committee
yeah.
mentioned. And I look for some flexibility in the 14-hour rule.
Yeah.
What it's going to be, I don't know.
Right, right. Yeah.
And I don't think anybody knows.
Yeah, but I hope you're right.
But there,
wow.
there will right. be some flexibility written into it.
All right. And just a note, Gary made a really great point going into the bottom of the hour break, and that is if you're not running legal, if you're willing to fudge your logbooks and your company knows that and the shippers and receivers know that, all the pressure's on you. And at the end of the day, all of the responsibility is on you. And,
yes,
and,
it is.
And so if you're out there... And I know the concerns with EOBRs, we hear them time and time again, but the fact of the matter is this. You carry all of that burden for them. They carry none of the responsibility. So ask yourself why you're doing it. Just a comment by your old Uncle Eric.
Well, and the other thing, the last driver said we're missing the boat on some things, and he mentions shippers and receivers that they don't care about the driver. Mm-hmm. We understand that completely. That's why
yeah.
we have said.
Oh, that's why we were talking about it.
That's exactly what we were talking about, and that... It has to be a money issue to them. They
yes.
have to suffer
yes.
if you have to wait, and it's your company that has to put the pressure. But and that's the point we were making, that if you're willing to fudge, then you're doing your company a favor. They don't have to deal with that shipper and receiver.
That's right.
In as tough a way as they would if you did not fudge.
That's exactly.
Because if you don't get it there, you don't get it there.
That's right. And so they're putting it on you. So if you've been willing to do it up to this point, and they know you're willing to do it, you're under their thumb. We're back to Ask the Law in just a moment. Stand by. It's the Midnight Radio Network.
800-288-9227. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara, Eric Harley.
All right, retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. And Monty, once again, thank you so much for everything that you have done for the drivers over the years. And we want to thank R.J. Taylor and Old Blue USA for everything they've done as well, making this program possible. And information up to date as of today, July 12, 2010, can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Please go to the website, askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org. Click on that big red button that says email, Ask the Law, and get your CMV questions answered any time. Of course, the Great American Trucking Show is coming up. We've got some more events coming up. Throughout the summertime, will you be at the Great American Trucking
yes.
Show in August?
Right. We will be there. RJ's going to be there.
Yeah.
The big truck's not going to be there.
Yeah.
But
okay.
We will be set up. We will have the DPS commercial vehicle enforcement
yeah.
service
yeah.
there alongside of us.
Awesome.
Probably have one of their new Tahoes in on display. So,
great.
Come by and see us.
Yeah.
And, we'll answer questions.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be great. Have you heard any feedback from other officials on how Road Check 2010 went?
I did get some numbers from Texas. I did have not seen any of the national numbers yet. The out-of-service rate for drivers was 2%.
Wow.
Out-of-service for... vehicles was 25%.
Interesting. So on drivers, was that lower than last year?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And for vehicles, was that a bit higher?
It's a little bit higher.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Look at me remembering numbers and such. Well, I'll be interested to see what the national scene looked like. And then state to state, sometimes we'll get a few
right.
reports out of the different states. So we'll look for those numbers and maybe analyze those on the August edition of
yes.
Ask the Law. And, of course, askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org is the website. Keep up with everything that they're doing and submit your questions anytime. Please let them know that you heard about it on this program, but they're out there for you answering those questions. If you got a specific question, make sure you get it to them. But we will look for you in August. Thank you, Trooper Dial, and
yes.
make it a great July. You got any vacation time planned?
No.
All right. Well...
No.
Then just more work on the ranch.
Yes.
I'll make it a great one. It's the Midnight Radio Network.
800-288-9227.